Triple M rocks the NRL 24/7 through the Triple M app. Thanks to Ream. Steady, hot and strong. Install a Ream. Getting our nose right in there and having a good sniff around. The Monday Scrum.
Hello and welcome to the Monday Scrum, joined by Aaron Woods and Brent Reed, who is looking very trim indeed. Reedy, are you on a diet?
I am on a diet, Em. 2 kilos in 2 days I've lost.
Wowee.
Shows you.
What's the secret, Reedy?
I was carrying some excess weight, wasn't I? Just calorie counting, watching what you eat. No bread, no potato.
So how many calories a day are you allowed?
1,600.
That's not a lot.
That's all right.
So how many calories would that coffee be right there?
That's lemon and ginger grass tea
zero.
With some honey. It's about 25 calories.
Oh, honey. Less the honey would have
been. Yeah, the honey would have been like 2 calories. Oh. Yeah. So,
you would enjoy yourself.
16. Well, so you get a bit more if you exercise. Like this morning I did a boot camp. Mm-hmm. That chucks on another 500 calories, right? That gives you 2,100 for the day.
You are looking good, Bart.
Thanks.
Yeah, I do.
Thanks. Appreciate it. Yeah.
Well done, Reed.
So the reason for the diet is?
Well, because like you, Emma, I'm going to the World Cup. And we're going to be in England, the north of England, for 5.5 weeks. And I know that you'll lead me astray.
Oh,
and
please.
We'll drink a lot of beer.
I am so,
so
jealous.
So I need you know to be trim and taut when I get over there.
Have you been over there for a tour?
I went on a tour in two straight years, 2002 and 2003. It's the last tour I was on.
It is
2003.
What dream.
So you haven't been on a tour for 19 years.
A tour like that. I've been to Olympics and stuff, but not a kangaroo tour.
Wow.
Not for
kangaroo tours,
years,
it's like a dream come true.
Reedy's going to let loose.
Yous will love it.
No. Home in bed every night at 8:30.
He'll be under Emma's wing. Under Emma's little wing.
Okay, so does that mean I have to lose 5 kilos before the tour as well?
Look at you. You don't need to. I need to. I'm old. I'm old and carrying a few.
Jake Duke's coming.
Jakey Duke, yeah.
Yep, so
who else? Anybody else?
Is he calorie counting too? Getting ready for it?
I spoke to him yesterday. I think Jake's in pretty good condition, isn't he?
He's a good Nick.
He looks after himself.
Looks like he can back up next morning and train straight away.
Yeah.
Just spend a lot of time in the sauna. You'll be ready to go.
Party hard, play hard, isn't it?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, you got to back up.
Oh, I'm excited.
Don't play up if you can't back up. That's all they say.
Yeah. The motto of the tour, right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. No, we'll be right.
Well, it's been a good weekend all round, Woodsy. I saw you out at the Sharkies game, and your little man Busty, he got to run on, and Ronnie is his favourite player,
yes,
isn't he? Ronaldo
yes.
Mulatalo.
Yeah, so it was a good weekend up until that moment.
Yeah.
obviously, we got beat by the Sharks. It was actually really good to go back and play at Shark Park. I haven't played there for, I think, 3 years. We played our last couple of years when I was at the Sharks at Cogra. So it was really good to get out there and mix it with all the boys. Obviously disappointing to lose to them, but, you know, they're a quality side and they're in the top four and they're in there for a reason. And at the end of the game, the little fella, he wanted to jump the fence and I seen him in the corner, so I grabbed him and he was just saying, "Dad, Ronnie, Ronnie." And I was like, "What about Dad?"
And then he obviously knows, right? Because Ronaldo
loves him, it all come from when we were in the bubble last year up at Brisbane. Yeah. Ronnie would give him the milkshakes every morning and chocolates, and so idolises Ronnie.
Yeah,
thinks he's the best. The bee's knees.
I saw Buster and Sarah at the start of the game, and Buster had the tape around his wrist, and it had Daddy and Ronnie written on it. Yeah.
And then when Buster went and saw Ronnie had Busty on him. So
it's the best.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, he has it most games, and he sends pictures before it.
He seems like a ripping bloke, Ronaldo.
Yeah, he's a goose on the field. You know, a lot of people, it's like, I love the way he plays. He plays 110%, and he's a guy you want to play with, but he drives you mad playing against. And as soon as you cross that white line, he's, you know, just all for Cronulla Sharks and just wants to get over the advantage line and just wants to do the best for his team. As soon as you get off the field, there's no better bloke in rugby league. Mm. His absolute, I think he's a Ken Stevens medal.
Yeah, he does a lot of work in the
community.
Yeah, so much community work that people don't know. And yeah, it's the first question that everyone asks me, what's that Ronaldo Mulatalo like? I said, mate, he's actually one of the greatest blokes you'll meet.
There
that's
he
good,
goes.
Isn't it?
Well,
that's nice. But he's a winger, so it's the only bad thing.
It's a segue here or something?
Well, I was going to, but I thought it might be inappropriate. So let's just do something more appropriate. It was a bit dramatic on the weekend with Ricky Stewart. I don't want to question his character because I know others have done that. But the outburst with Jamin Salmon, we'll start by taking another listen to exactly what Ricky said.
Yeah. Well, you know, I mean, Fisher Harris, Taps, they're accidents. You know, and in this collision game, I understand that. But, you know, where Salmon kicked Tommy, he ain't on. And I've had history with that kid. I know that kid very well. He was a weak-gutted dog as a kid, and he hasn't changed now. He's a weak-gutted dog person now.
Wow. I honestly, I had to listen to it a couple of times just to make sure that what I heard is what he said.
It's pretty astonishing, wasn't it? I mean, I can't remember any time in rugby league that you've heard a coach, let alone a player, say that about another player.
Yeah.
And Ricky's obviously apologised. Yeah, notably he hasn't apologised to Jamin Salmon. He's apologised for
his comments,
what he said and the arena he said it in, but he hasn't apologised. Obviously it's a really deep-seated thing, and the story's come out that it came from about a decade or so ago when Ricky's son and Jamin Salmon had some issues, and Ricky's sort of never forgiven him for that. And as a father, and Woody, you're a dad, you can appreciate.
Yeah, definitely. You know, I know now, being a dad, before, if I didn't have a son, I wouldn't understand where he's coming from. But you still have no right to go and personally attack a player. Obviously, I don't agree what Jamin Salmon did kicking, you know, Starling, where he kicked him. Obviously, it does happen in the game. You do kick out to try to get a quick play ball. But that looked, you know, where you hit someone in that sort of a region, that's the no-no in my books. Yeah. But Ricky's the leader of that organisation. You can't come out and absolutely spray it. Imagine if a player sprayed a coach like that, you know? Or imagine someone like Trent Barrett come out and said that. What's all the media outlets saying then?
Yeah.
Is he going to be crucified?
Ricky's going to pay a price for it because, you know, the club's obviously come out today and said we don't condone what he said. So Canberra's obviously working with the NRL at the moment on some sort of sanction for Ricky. Ricky spoke in the integrity unit today. You know, he's going to face a punishment, and he deserves to, because we all love Ricky and how emotional he is. That's one of the great things about Ricky is his emotions. He wears his heart in his sleeve a bit, but there's a time and a place and a line you don't cross, and he crossed it, and he crossed it by a long way, to be fair.
I think that's more of a conversation he could have in the dressing room with his teammates or at home with his wife. You know, you don't come out and personally bag someone. That's just crossing the line that you don't. He's going to be under the pump now, and you know, and he can try. Obviously, he's come out and apologised for it, which is what he should have done, but he hasn't actually apologised to Jamin.
Yeah. And, well, it doesn't look as though he will, though.
It doesn't, but then his family's come out and made a statement, and they're not happy about it either.
And that's put even more pressure on, because Jamin Salmon's parents, a family, have come out and said, we want the NRL to investigate this and take action against Ricky. Yep. So the NRL's almost, I mean, the NRL would have done something anyway, but now the pressure's really on them to be seen to be doing a punishment that fits a crime.
Well, Andrew Abdo did join Triple M yesterday. This is what he had to say.
I think we're all disappointed with what's happened and unfolded. And now we need to work through the process around what happens next. So, you know, it's not appropriate for me to comment on my opinion or even how I perceive other people to be dealing with it, because it's a live matter at the moment.
And the Raiders today, you mentioned the statement, Reedy. The Raiders have said, as a club, we do not condone the comments made by Ricky in the press conference, and we are currently in dialogue with the NRL and cooperating with all of their inquiries. We will accept their findings and any sanctions they hand down. Being a head coach is a high-pressure job and comes with intense scrutiny from fans, media and public, and we understand emotion is high following a match. So, Reedy, is it... Do we have a ballpark figure? Is this going to be a suspension or is it going to be a fine? What are you thinking?
Well, I think they're leaning towards a suspension because Ricky's been fined so much over the years. I think his fines are $135,000, and that's over 20 years, to be fair to him. But he has been fined a lot, and it hasn't really, I guess, influenced his behaviour in those press conferences. So I think the NRL is at a point where they've almost, and because of the severity of what he said, you know, I don't know if a fine would be enough.
So with the suspension, ready, what's that? Is that just suspended from game day or is that suspended from all duties?
Well, if you copied what they do in European soccer, he would be suspended from game day. So in European soccer, they suspend the manager. You know,
so he just can't perform all his duties on game
day. But I think in European soccer, they can still communicate with the team on game day. I would imagine you'd try to stop that.
I'm not too sure. That's what I was asking. So, he can still come to training each day.
Yeah,
he just wouldn't be there on game day.
But they could go to that point and say, no, you're suspended for a week, and maybe he'll be prevented from going to training. That's a possibility. I wouldn't rule that out. You know, if you're going to suspend someone like that, you've probably got to go the whole hog.
In terms of, I mean, it's making a statement, certainly, but does that really affect the Raiders all that much if they've got the assistants who can run training?
But it shouldn't affect the club. It should affect Ricky. And that would affect Ricky. I mean, we all love, you know, Ricky loves sitting on the sidelines. Yeah. He's so involved in games. I mean, if you're doing that, if you're suspending Ricky, it's affecting the person it should affect, which is the guy who's made the comments, because he's done them without, you know, the club's not condoning it.
It's not the club's fault. He's come out on his own limb and done that. So he's got to cop the punishment, not the club.
So I'd imagine there'll be a fine as well. I don't think he'll avoid a fine. There'll be a fine of some description, I would have thought. And then it's just whether they...
Didn't they say they'd get like some sort of counselling for it as well?
Well, that's what they normally do when they suspend a player yep. like that. They normally say you've got to do some sort of anger management counselling yeah. or something like that. So
I'm sure he'll put his hand up and whatever happens, he'll do it.
Yeah. Well, he's acknowledged he was in the wrong. So
yeah, exactly right. It's not like
he's just done a new deal there for 2 more years, I think, Rick. So, look, I mean, we all love the guy. Everyone, you know, he's been around the game a long time. And I don't want this to seem as though it's a personal attack on Rick because...
No, it's the same as anyone. Yeah. Anyone that would say the same thing, you'd attack any of them. It's not a personal attack. Yeah. It's not like he's attack on Jamin.
Yes.
This is, from what he's said, this is a result of his consequences.
Yep. It's hard because all the what you love about Ricky is the passion and emotion, but that's what also can get him in trouble.
You can't do it this day and age. Yeah. You could do it 20 years ago, but the times have just changed.
At some point, you've got to learn to control that, right? And Ricky's problem is he just lost it. Basically, in that moment when he got asked about Jamin Salmon, he just lost it. And, you know, he's obviously, as you said, we love that part of him, but he just crossed a line you cannot cross.
There's a time and place, and that wasn't it.
Yeah.
Pretty much.
Maybe Ricky needs some meditation.
Meditation?
Yeah. Earthing? Like
Earthing. Freddie can teach him.
Did you get your shoes off? Freddie and you were at the game on Sunday. Did you have your shoes off at any point, earthing?
No, we did the week before.
You did the week before, yeah, I know.
Not at Campbelltown. It was a bit cold.
But I swear I saw Freddie with shoes on and you shoes off. I don't think he
did. Oh, yeah. No, he didn't take them off. He just explained to me. No, I believe he did. Anyway, I want to get the details right.
Not on Sunday.
In terms of the Raiders' finals hopes now, they're 2 points outside the eight in ninth.
Mm.
And the Roosters are in eighth, have a way better for and against. Are we saying that, have we put a line through the Raiders? Is the top eight? As it stands
right now.
What
about right the Dragons? Now?
They're on 20. Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
Don't write off the Dragons.
Sorry. Okay.
Well, mathematically still a chance.
Yes. Yeah. So do a Manly.
The Roosters do have a tough draw. A really tough run.
I feel like they've turned the corner a bit, though.
They're smokies so. Now.
Four in a row now they've won. And convincing wins, too.
Yeah. And they've played really well. I didn't think they were great against on the weekend. But
really?
No, I didn't think they were
fantastic.
The way
they started that game, I thought the three big men up front, Hargreaves,
Lodgie's been a great signing.
Yeah, but don't forget, they've still got Takiyaho, Lindsay Collins on the sideline. And to see the way that Tedesco and Joey Manu are playing, mate, you wouldn't want to come up near them. Even if, I reckon personally, if they don't make the top four, which probably is likely where they're going to finish, is out anywhere from 5 to 8, I would hate to play them. They are such a dangerous side.
Can I throw a curveball at you, Woodsy?
Yeah, mate.
They've got a kid in the wing named Joe Suaalii.
Yeah, yeah.
Who is a fullback.
Yeah.
Wants to play fullback.
Yep.
Is going to be a 10-year superstar
freak.
In this game.
He's young kid coming through. I've never seen someone as tough as what he is with the play one carries.
They got a bloke at fullback named James Tedesco.
What do you do?
Who's arguably the best player in the game. What do they do?
What a nice headache to have.
Well, not really if Joe wants to play fullback and decides he wants to go and play fullback somewhere else.
Yeah, but I reckon he'll want to learn under Tedesco. Mm. It's only his, first full season of NRL. He seems like a really level-headed kid. I've heard him talk a couple of times after games. He's just happy to be out there, contribute to the side the way he can. He's learned off all these great players. He's got Joseph Manu inside him, or some weeks he does, if Manu's not playing 5'8". You know, Kiri's back to his best at 5'8". You see him play on the weekend, he was unreal. And then you got Tedesco. And then just learning from the leaders they've got in their group in Hargreaves, Radley. It's such a great side to be a part of. I don't think he'd want to move anytime soon. I think he'd be real comfortable there. But then
I think Teddy's got 2 years left on his deal.
Yeah, so that I reckon after that 2 years, that'll be a really big question
call,
mark for the Roosters at that stage.
Tough call.
Ooh.
Because I think Suaalii will play for Australia.
I think
he'll go on the Kangaroo toss. But
I reckon he'll play for Australia at the end of the year.
Yeah,
yeah. He's that good of a talent, and Mao will back anyone. And as long as the senior players in that Australian squad agree with Mao, he'll go with it.
Mm.
So Suaalii's on fire. Teddy's on fire. The Roosters are as well. Four
good.
In a row.
So it's hard to see the Raiders bumping
them
out.
Can't.
And Souths are going well, and. You know, all those sides who are at the
Parramatta.
Bottom of the eight, they've started to kick in the gear, really. It's Brisbane who's sort of lost a bit of momentum, I reckon.
Yeah, but Brisbane has still got the points on the board. They're still a couple wins ahead, aren't they?
Yeah. So it's going to be hard for the Raiders.
So I was at the Roosters game on Thursday night for Triple M, and spotted was Bradley Charles Stubbs, a coach whisperer.
Win-win. No, what is it? Win-win-win.
Expect to win.
Done. That's it.
And I asked the players about his involvement after the match, and Victor Radley was raving about him,
really?
Saying that I said, has he been the difference the last month? And he said, I actually think he has, because he's only recently started coming back to work with them. And he just said, Victor said, I was a bit skeptical, but I'm a believer now about how much it helps with mindset and just the vibe and the energy.
I've had someone like that in the past, and what they do is they, you know, you can think about so many things at once, and they just they dumb it down for you.
Mm.
So they're probably going to the games thinking about so many things, where he's just probably given them a couple of things just to focus on, and that's it.
Mm.
And they're probably their headspace has been heaps clearer. Mm. You know, it does help with all the players that do get back. They obviously had Hargreaves out for a few weeks there. Kiri was in and out with the head knocks, and just to get a bit of, you know, stability in their spine, that's something that's going to really help them. But when you do get someone from outside in, that does give you a few things to focus on. It does clear your mind a little bit more.
Yeah, well, I mean, I'm a little bit skeptical, but you can't argue with the results, right? I mean, they have turned it around, and it was interesting. He was at that game because Kevy's used him as well, hasn't he? Over the years, Kevy's been
a Queensland side, was
he? Yeah, he was. Bradley Stubbs. So, you know, his results are going all right, I guess.
Certainly are.
Yeah. Maybe we should call him.
Kiri's won two comps with him. When I spoke to Kiri, he said, well, he was at the Bunnies in 2014.
Oh, yeah, okay.
Then Roosters 2019.
I think Graham Arnold swears by him, doesn't he? Socceroos coach. So he's got some runs on the board.
Yeah, right people in the right places that are pumping him up. Yeah.
There we go. It was a busy weekend in terms of suspensions. The match review committee were very busy. Your teammate, Woodsy, Tarek Sims.
Yeah.
4 weeks. Did you expect I mean, that's because he's got carryover points as well.
Yeah, look, I expected him to get 10 in the bin at the time. I remember seeing the game before. Fisher Harris did the same sort of thing on Ryan Sutton. And, you know, those ones are really hard because the player before makes a bit of contact and it drops them. So I think it might have been Jack DeBellin got Connor Tracy around the legs and he's falling. And you look at Sims, there's no intent to go in with a clenched fist and go in to put a big shot. He's just gone in and just dipped and just tried to put a tackle in. The only problem is it hits Connor Tracy flush on the melon. So, and it was a pretty, you know, sad sight to see him on the ground. He could tell he was seriously hurt. And if you've seen the look on Tarek's face afterwards, he knew he'd done something bad. And the worst thing for Tarek was that I think he got 10 to bin twice against the Brisbane Broncos a couple of weeks earlier. And like you said, he's got the carryover points. So I think it might have been a 2 to 3 week suspension. But now that obviously he's got the carryovers, he's got four. So some people call for send-off. Look, if it's going to be a send-off, you've got to send them all off. As soon as they make contact with the head, then, you know,
I thought it was a send-off.
Yeah.
I thought it was a send-off.
I think either way, every player would have agreed that a send-off or 10 to bin they would have been happy with. But we just want the rules to be, you know, I've seen the week before Tom Burgess, he got done for a send-off in extra time, which, yeah, that was a send-off. And then you look at Fisher Harris, exactly the same as Tom Burgess. He stays on the field, 10 to bin, same as Tarek, 10 to bin. Where's the consistency with that?
Well, I didn't think they were the same, Woodsy. I thought Fisher Harris's arm bounced off the ball a little bit, whilst Tom Burgess, I thought he just got him straight in the head. I thought there was a difference there. And I thought Tarek was a send-off.
Do we take into consideration the players staying down? Because Sutton was actually hurt, and Renato Mulitana got up straight away last week in extra time.
Well, you probably shouldn't, but I reckon they do. When they see Connor they obviously didn't with Connor Tracy.
That's what I'm saying.
Connor looked like he was hit flush.
The one didn't get sent off.
Yeah, well, I suppose at the time you're sort of making it's a bit of a guess by the officials just how hurt someone is, right?
And that's what we're saying as players. Can we just get some consistency? You either hit them with flush on the chin, you send them off, or you just leave them on 10.
But Reedy always says there's no such thing as consistency.
That word, consistency. It's impossible, Woodsy.
It's true.
Because human beings aren't consistent. You don't play the same every game.
I wish you could. The rules are supposed to be the same every week.
The rules are the same, but different people look at it. Different referees have different interpretations.
Yeah, but those ones go to the bunker.
There's different people in the bunker, though. Not the same person in the bunker.
Some of the decisions they come up with.
Anyway, I thought it was a send-off. I thought he was very lucky.
Yeah,
but it's a bit sad because he's played his last game now for St. George Illawarra.
I remember on the bench, we were like, we could be down to 12 men here for the last 60 minutes. So,
and he looked really, like, Tarek looked really concerned.
And he was pretty rattled after the game. I think he sort of thought that, damn, that's my last game for the Dragons as well. So he's such a good bloke. Like, he has got no, like, at training, he's one of the most jovial blokes. The boys always love getting around him. He's a bit of a prankster in the change room. So it's just disappointing that we don't get to send Tarek out in the high as Dragons, you know, last 3 or 4 games for him. So, but I know he'll be
finals,
there.
Finals, was he? Yeah. Finals.
Well, that's what I mean, like, he's during the season.
Yeah.
Yeah, so if we make it semis, there's still a chance.
We'll let that one slide.
Yeah, sorry, guys.
Well, I tell you, can't make the finals, the Knights, and I know they got the win against the Tigers yesterday, but this week was just, or last week, it was a bit chaotic for them.
Very chaotic, wasn't it, Reedy?
Your mate
David Clemmer situation.
The eyes start rolling again, did they?
Let's start with you, Reedy.
Yeah.
Okay. What did you've voiced your views on NRL 360.
Did he? I didn't hear him. What were they, Reedy?
Okay. Well, it was calamitous, wasn't it? It was a shambolic situation where it just got out of hand. It got completely out of hand. And, you know, Dave probably should have come off the field. I think he got asked three times and didn't come off. But that happens in footy games, right? But then
it happens every week.
Yeah.
That's all I couldn't believe about. When they said, obviously, you know, Dave's got the, does lose his mind a little bit sometimes on the footy field. And that's what we love about Big Clem. He's a loose unit. But when I found out why he lost his mind and then the trainer going to HR about that, I couldn't believe it.
Well, the trainer did, we need to clarify that, would you? If the trainer didn't go to HR, I think the trainer went to the club and the club then went to HR basically on his
what's
behalf.
The club, what's the trainer go on the club and for, and
then,
for that? Mate, some of the trainers
then,
I've had in my time, I remember when I found out what happened, I rang up my old trainer, Marcus Kane.
Yeah.
He said, man, if I ever repeated some of the stuff that you guys used to say to us on the field, holy crap.
Well, and I think that Hayden Knowles, the trainer's come out, Mick got him on Sunday saying that, and you got him too, Em, didn't you, saying that the issue wasn't the language.
Hayden spoke very well. He said the issue was not the language.
Might have been the issue with him, but it was an issue with the club, the language it was used, because the language is also used on the bench within earshot of the crowd. So it's fine for Hayden to say the issue with Clem wasn't language, but once it became an issue the club looked at, the language became an issue. So, I mean, I think he said the only issue he had was that Clem refused to come
off. He said that
he
was most disappointed with the fact that Clem didn't come off, and he felt that was a sign of disrespect to him. Mm. And he said, I show you respect, so I expect it in return. That's what Hayden said yesterday.
Yeah. I don't know. It just got way out of hand, and you know the club's obviously responded.
I think that shows you where Newcastle are at. Why would you let that issue drag and get out in the media? Well, wouldn't you keep that in house, something like that?
Well, I think the issue there is, and they've changed their process now. But once it went to HR, they basically had no choice but to stand him down. I believe until they'd investigated it and all sorts of things. So
yeah, but you stand him down for an issue of just not coming off the field. There has to be a lot more to it. That's what you got to think, and then. I watched a couple of shows and then they're saying, oh, because his play the balls aren't quick. What's got nothing to do with standing him down?
Well, he's been their best player.
Exactly right. Danny Badira's come on, I think, one of the radio stations and said he's winning it by that far.
He's already won it.
He's won it already. Yeah, he could not play the next four games and still win player's player vote. Yeah.
And Adam O'Brien came out and defended him.
Well, he's been one of his biggest defenders. And why would the coach want to stand down their best player?
When it happened, Adam got sort of told, mate, you stay out of this. Okay. We're going to deal with this. So Adam wasn't involved, to be fair to Adam. So. I think in the end, they've sorted out. Clem will be back in the team. He was training on Friday. He'll be back in the team next week.
He trained with reserve grade on Friday. He got down there and he worked out. I spoke to him throughout the week. Obviously, he was doing it pretty tough.
How was the big man?
Oh, he was pretty.
You guys are old roommates.
Yeah, he was struggling early on because he didn't understand what he'd done wrong properly, you know. Like, it was one of those things that happens. It's happened in every team I've been involved in, you know, the language that you use on the field. Because you cross that white line, you got the blinkers on and you want to do what's best for the team. And obviously, you know, he thought he'd just stay out there for one more set and then the trainer obviously didn't agree.
Well, it says a lot about where Newcastle are at, though. I mean, you were saying that, would you? I mean, they're a club that's had a really miserable season. Nothing's really gone right for them. Although it did on Sunday, funnily enough, obviously against the Tigers, they won that game. And, you know, they needed that after the week they've had in the season they've had. But they've got a big off-season coming up the night. So they've got a lot of changes to make in that organisation, a lot of things to sort out.
Well, I think one of the Saifidi boys even said he was going to, was it Daniel who came out and said didn't want to play World Cup and just have a really good...
Yeah, I see. He was could have played for Fiji or Samoa and he's not
and
that
just have a get a really good pre-season under his belt and focus on next year.
They've got a couple of good
boys. Good sign.
Jack Hetherington from the Bulldogs.
Yeah.
He's a really good player. Adam Elliott as well.
Yeah, he's good. And they've got a couple of Pommy kids they're trying to get over who've got 1 year left in the deal in England. They're trying to get them over here early and one of them's been compared to Sonny Bill Williams, Pierce Paul, I think his name is.
But his old man used to play.
No, that's Will Price.
Oh, Will Price.
The fullback.
Okay.
He's 17 or 18.
Yeah, he's a gun too.
He's a gun. They're trying to get both those guys over early next year. I'm not sure they'll get it to happen, but it's a big off-season for that club. And big off-season for Adam O'Brien, the coach.
Huge.
Yeah. Needs to start next year well.
Certainly does. And you need to start your segment well.
Mail.
I mean, you don't really. You deliver every week, so. There's not a lot of pressure on you.
We should start with the Knights and, you know, that game on Sunday. It was quite symbolic because obviously Knights, Tigers, and I reckon those two clubs are probably going to be involved in the biggest off-season decision in rugby league, which is Luke Brooks, which is what we're going to focus on for weeks and weeks to come to see what happens with Luke Brooks.
Can they just do it straight away so we don't have to do stories on it for 3 weeks?
Well, it's interesting
because
there's been a bit of mail that there were some clubs sniffing around Tyson Frizzell. And we were talking off air, weren't we, that maybe if the Knights thing is to happen with Brooks to go to the Knights and the Tigers need an edge back rower, it makes a little bit of sense that maybe those two guys potentially, sure. I'm not saying this is being talked about. I'm saying it's something we talked about, yep, as a swap that would make a little bit of sense.
And Benji was at the game yesterday in the tunnel, they're having a little chat to Frizz.
They're close friends from the Dragons days as well.
Really?
Benji and Frizz, I know that.
Okay. Well, there you go. Well, that would make a little bit of sense because I know the Tigers are desperate for an edge back role because they're losing, they're bringing Papali'i, but they're losing
Kelma Tuolungi. And obviously Luch is gone.
Garner's going. So that's an area that
they do need a back row, yeah.
Yeah, and they probably need a bit of experience. So.
With money-wise, obviously Brooks' price tag would be a fair bit. Does that mean they just do a straight swap, no money, or would that have to compensate a bit?
No, I think that's going to be one of the issues if Brooks eventually does push it and want to go.
Yep.
How much the Tigers have got to put in, because I think he's on 1.1 next year, Luke Brooks.
I have no idea.
So,
good on him, Bart.
Newcastle, yeah. He's going well.
We'd all take that if you got it.
Newcastle aren't going to pay all that. So it's going to be a situation with the Tigers.
But Frizzy's on a fair
I think he's
whack
on 670, 700. Oh, okay. So there's still a bit of a gap. There's still a bit of a difference there. But the Tigers, if they're going to let him go, if they decide they'll let him go, they will have to put some money in because the Knights won't foot that entire bill. So that's, again, all part of this this situation, I reckon, we're going to see develop over the next 2 or 3 weeks with Luke Brooks.
All right. What else you got?
Look, Cronulla, we were talking about Ronaldo Militalo before. I reckon Cronulla got a huge sort of few weeks coming up as well, huge month or so. I was looking at I was talking to them this morning about Sifa Talakai because they've been trying to re-sign Sifa Talakai. He's at one of the November 1 guys. So November 1 ends his last year, his deal. From that day, he can sign with another club for 2024. And the Sharks have been talking to him for ages about trying to get a new deal done with Sifa Talakai. They put it off during Origin.
Yeah, right. Do you have a fit? Yeah, you okay, mate?
Yeah. You can't speak
like
words
a stroke.
Anyway, they put the talks off while he was in State of Origin.
I hope you're not doing the talks for him.
No. But then, but they've ramped them up again. But what makes it really interesting, if you look at the Cronulla back line.
Unbelievable.
Will Kennedy, Ronaldo Mbolatalo.
Katoa.
Jesse Ramien. Sifa Talakai, Jesse Ramien are all off contract can all sign with another club from November 1.
Oh, wow.
So in the next...
What about Sione Katoa? Is he...
Katoa as well. Did I say him?
No, you said Jesse Ramien twice.
Oh, did I? Sorry. Sione Katoa, sorry.
That's all right.
Jesse's a good player. He's not that good. Anyway, basically their entire back line, the club's got about 2 months... 3 months to get.
Do you reckon they're kicking themselves that they didn't try to keep Talakai at the start of the year before he got the Origin?
Oh, no doubt they would.
How much has that bumped his price?
Well,
tag
I would have thought his price had just gone gangbusters.
But
you're
saying, look at Ronaldo. He's played for New Zealand now. He was in the Queensland squad, would have played for Queensland last year, but didn't obviously get the opportunity.
Well, Will Kennedy,
he's just going leaps and bounds. He was a player of the year there last year.
Yeah. So they've got a challenge in front
and
of
Jesse
them.
And Jesse Ramien, it's without a doubt his best season so far.
Yeah.
Yeah, good luck.
Yeah, they're gonna.
But then the other one is Wade Graham's off as well.
Yeah, and Andrew Fifita.
A big fifth, he's off as well. Yeah. So
they've got some challenges in front of them, the Sharks, in terms of keeping that squad together. And you've got to hope that it doesn't become a bit of a distraction during finals time because you know what the media are like. We'll start writing stories about it. But, we did it last year with Parramatta.
They're all contract for next year, but right ready.
At the end of next year,
but they can
sign with another club from November 1.
Oh, that's not too bad. I reckon it'll be more the next year that'll be hard.
Well, if they can't get the deal
done. That's it, yeah.
Yeah, but it's going to cost them a lot of money to keep all those guys.
Oh, definitely, yeah. Especially if they do, imagine they win a comp. Their premiership players, it'll be hard to keep all of them.
The price goes through the roof,
doesn't
it?
That's exactly.
Braden Trindle's off one of those guys
as well. Trindle, yeah.
Given Moylan's just re-signed, you've got Nico and Moylan, do you reckon someone like Trindle would look elsewhere because he'd want to be starting in the halves, obviously.
It's also already happened with Luke Metcalf. He's gone to the
Warriors.
So without a doubt, he'd probably be in something in the back of his mind. Mm. My other one, when's Blake Brayley off contract?
No, he did a new deal earlier this year. Long-term deal, four-year deal, I think.
I think that's a long one.
Yeah.
Because that means that, I remember at the time, it meant that his little brother, who's also a hooker, that means that Taj is going to have to find another club too.
Well, Blake's he's been outstanding, mate. He's a freak.
Final note, Ali Katoa, the Warriors back rower. I think I spoke about him on this show a little while ago. He's been given permission by the Warriors to leave, and looks like he'll be going to Melbourne. The Dolphins are in for him. Canberra are in for him. Canberra have pulled out, and the Dolphins are basically resigned to Ali Katoa going to Melbourne.
That'd be a really good pickup. Like, I reckon he's good because he can play back row and middle. Yeah. And in a really good Storm system, real strict, and you know, you see what they do with players that have got decent amount of talent. And he's, I reckon he's, I remember a couple of years ago when he come on the scene, he was a really good damaging back rower, and obviously had a couple of quiet years, but I think going down to Melbourne would be the best thing for him.
And they've lost both their edge back rowers. I mean, Felice and Kenny Bromwich both going to the Dolphins at the end of the year, so he's going to be a good signing for them.
Tarek as well.
Oh, Tarek, of course. Tarek's going there. He could play a bit of middle as well, can't he?
Yeah, Tarek can play middle as well. Yeah. Well, he was on the edge on the weekend.
When he's on the field.
Yeah, he'll be all right. He'll be good.
Hey.
He'll be a really good pickup for Melbourne, Tarek.
No, he will be. He's a pro, right?
He's a professional, mate. He's one of the best I've seen. He's up there with Emma's brother, Chris.
Chris
is by far the best I've seen.
Really?
A lot of people say that he's the most professional, and even with the 1%.
He crosses the T's and dots the I's.
Can he teach you a bit of professionalism, please?
Pete, the great Pete
doesn't fall too far from the tree.
The great Peter Musa. The best physio in the game always says Chris is the consummate professional and says you will never get to the level that
Chris is. We used to always say to Chris, you need to go home, get a six pack of beer and get some Maccas and just sit on the couch and relax.
Did he ever do that?
No, he still wouldn't.
No, he's this sums Chris up. He's on the flight back from making his debut
I love this story.
In Queensland at Suncorp Stadium. He's got trial HSC exams the next day.
Is he 18 or 17?
He's 17 at this stage. Yeah. He gets out his books and starts studying on the plane.
Oh.
And Chris Hyington says to him, mate,
what are you doing?
Just made your first grade debut, put your books away.
Mate, maybe Chris should have read a few more books. No, he's a good man.
He's one of the greats.
Only kidding, buddy. Mate, he was on that Adelaide trip I went on with Benji and those blokes. We told that story.
Where they spiked your drink.
Yeah, they spiked my drink.
That's your little mic drop moment. You want to finish
revenge.
On that,
yeah,
isn't
that
it?
Yeah, that in
you. Sorry, I love Hino. He's a great man.
I tell you what,
one of our sideline compatriots.
I reckon Hino would probably deliver that mail better than you did, dribbling. He can string one sentence together.
You'll be able to get it out.
Thanks.
Anyway, good mail, delivery not so good, but always room for improvement. We love having you, Reedy. We love having Woodsy.
Thank you, man.
See you all next week on the Monday Scrum.
Triple M rocks the NRL 24/7 through the Triple M app. Thanks to Ream. Steady, hot and strong. Install a Ream.